A possible new member in the DC universe. Who is the Flash talking about in BVS? We squashed a couple of rumors, and Zack Snyder being cryptic AF right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
Boom! Hakusaki! Oh my god! Welcome to the Justice! We got Flash and Soups!
Huh?
Yes.
That's just on my shirt.
Exactly.
To bring it back to Guns N' Roses and Justice League.
You're gonna die!
That's my extra rose. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We all hope that you enjoyed your Thanksgiving holiday, and we apologize that we didn't join you last week, but hell, we were all over the place. We're trying to get our turkey on, and it's good to have you here. And so let's get to the whole crew right now. I'm Johnny LaQuasto. Find me on Twitter at JQuasto. Of course, we're at DC Movies SK. That man right there, the host of Man vs. Child on FYI, the host of FX Movie Download on FX, wearing the Guns N' Roses Justin League style Appetite for Justice t-shirt, squeezing his nipples ever so gently. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler!
I doff my cap to you, sir.
And
I doff my cap to you, m'lady.
Did you ever have your nipple pierced?
This wouldn't be the first time. It's so good to be back. I was on the East Coast for the past 2 weeks.
Nice.
I've been gone. I haven't been on the show since America changed. Gonna try not to be angry, but it's a little hard. I found myself these days with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder.
Oh, it's an understatement, Batman.
Yeah,
whoa!
It really is.
Thank you, Brett Ward.
That's Dr. Fate right there in the booth. That's Zach Wilson.
Oh, have we named?
No, I think he should be Zach L.
Okay. Zach L. Yeah, I agree.
Dr. Fate was good.
Zach, what are your thoughts?
I approve.
He does. He approves.
People like Gideon, too.
You want to be Zach L? Is that the one?
Come on. I know,
Zach L works.
I think Zach L's
It would be really funny voice, if you pulled off the helmet of fate, and then it was just like there was his doom mask there, and he's like,
I would love that. The funny thing is about our audience, we have a very international audience, so they have to be kind of just giggling at the state our country's in right now, which is very interesting.
They also have to be giggling at Adam in the chat. I can't believe you missed all of this, Johnny.
This is not a political show. I was optimistic guy. I was like, listen, if anything bad happens, it's going to wake everybody up. People will be getting involved. People will rally. And then I talked to my friend in D.C. because I visited D.C. and my friend who's worked in the government for the past 16 years, best friend I've known since first grade, and he was not optimistic.
No.
He made me feel bad.
And with each passing day and each person he brings in to interview, I'm like,
let's talk D.C.
Anyways, moving on from Adam Gertler. She's the crown jewel of the D.C. Movie News Show, and she's the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies, and you can catch her twice a week on The Tomorrow Show. You know her. You love her. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer. She's Roxy Stryer.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All
how do you have room
breath.
In your brain for all of that? He really like knows what we do.
I like your Tomorrow Show outfits. It's all like Trek themed.
Yeah. Well, we had George Takei on this week,
that's
too.
That's amazing.
That guy's
really
funny.
Cool.
And how was he? What was that like?
He was unbelievable. Honestly, such a good human being.
Yeah, I love
not that I was surprised by that, but he was like a great dude. And then on Flash and Friends for Screen Junkies, I had Kevin Smith talk about the episode he had directed.
You had Kevin Smith
Supergirl.
On the show?
Yeah.
In the studio. God damn.
So that was really freaking sweet, too, and he was the best. Hughes didn't join us for that segment because he wanted to go outside and have coffee or something.
That's weird.
I mean, Jay Muse.
So at the show that you normally do with Jay Muse.
Jay was like, I'm going to see you guys later.
He didn't want to be there.
Kevin came in. I mean, they had just taped together, and he's like, I was just hanging out with him.
I have a decent Jay Muse story.
That
a couple years ago.
I love him.
He's great. Before I started hosting Access Live, they initially, on Access TV, they initially brought me in to be like a panelist, and they had Jay like kind of guest hosting. Not a host. Definitely
no.
A host.
He's a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Not a host.
Did Takei talk about the Allegiant Fathom event that's going on? Because
yeah,
I saw that advertised in the theater.
He did. One night only, December 13th, 7:30 p.m., theaters near you. Allegiance, that's his play. It was really interesting to hear him talk about, but definitely check that out. But it's a Fathom event.
Allegiance,
yeah.
Right. Allegiant is the movie.
Yeah.
With the young adult thing. Right?
Ally?
No, there was Allegiant. I think it is.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
Dr.
Fate. This is Allegiant, which is great. But Kevin gave me the inside scoop on a lot of stuff. Supergirl and Flash. We can talk more about that during TV time.
Yeah. A hell of an episode this week.
Yeah. Hell of a couple. This crossover has been amazing. But we're not at TV time yet.
No, we're not. Definitely not at TV time yet.
It's
so.
Time for
nope.
movie time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
That's
time
right.
for movie time. So it's been a couple of weeks. We weren't here last
nope.
week. The week before, I was actually absent, unfortunately. So a lot of the Harley, Joker, deleted scenes. It's a little bit confusing. So the extended cut is out, but there's also clips of apparently maybe extended cut scenes that were not part of the extended cut or something. It's very confusing to me. I just enjoyed watching them on YouTube. I've been traveling, like Adam, way too much to actually catch up in the extended cut. So.
How come I haven't been traveling? I've been traveling.
You'll have your time.
Yeah.
But why have you been traveling like Adam? Why not? You've been traveling like Adam and Roxy.
Oh, I didn't know you were traveling.
Oh, you have been traveling.
Yeah, I've been traveling.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were here.
Well, you're hanging out with Kevin Smith, and you're hanging out with George
Takei.
Really?
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was good, thank you.
Nice.
I just want to be acknowledged, man.
No, you were just talking about all the famous people you're hanging out with. I thought you were in town.
No. Just this week I was in town.
Fair enough. Anyway. So, yes, I guess you guys already talked about it a few weeks ago about the extended scenes. So, I don't know if chat
But I think it's just that they keep releasing more extended scenes. I think that's a little bit of the confusion. So, there are some scenes that they're releasing that aren't in the extended cut that are just extra scenes.
They've been cut from the extended cut. Cut.
Yes, exactly.
Cut
so,
from the same cloth.
Well, I mean, the one scene that I saw on YouTube, it was obviously the, I'm just going to hurt you real bad. That's right. Jack Nicholson, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that's obviously part of the extended cut. So.
Yeah, well, that was in the regular.
Okay, then I must have been looking at different.
That was in the
trailer.
There's
so many different links. No, but it was the thing before that where she's laying on the table, they strap her in. She's like, why don't you just kill me? He's like, I'm not going to kill you. So. I don't know what was in there and what wasn't.
So people were giving us crap a couple weeks ago because we were talking about these extended scenes for not having watched the extended cut.
Okay.
Adam, I know you have feelings about Suicide Squad.
Well, I'm going to watch it because I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the Blu-ray, all right, because I want to, you know, I'm a completist like that. So I just didn't want
to.
Yeah, I just didn't want to watch it early digitally and then see all the scattershot scenes everywhere. I'm like, just give me the volume. Give me the tome.
Sure.
I don't understand the logic of releasing them a month apart. I think it's just to get the double dipping. The movie made a lot of money, but the more I watch it, I think it's a shitty, shitty, shitty film.
Wow.
I don't like it at all, and I think that David Ayer is not to blame. I think when the more I watch this film, the more I see these cut scenes, if there was a real leader at the helm when this was, and guys, I'm not being negative about the future. I'm just saying like where they started, there was clearly not a strong direction for how these films should be tonally and how they intertwine into this universe. They were saying alternately, these are filmmakers' films versus, you know, this is going to be the interconnected universe. They don't have that captain of the ship. And so the movies, it's a joke to me. It really is. I mean, because it professes to be a character film. They don't spend time with enough characters. There's some pretty things to look at, but there's no real threat.
Well, it's like right off the top, you give away that Slipknot's about to die because we don't even get the intro to Slipknot.
Yeah, so I mean, things like that. So but then you see these scenes and part, and I'm a fan of Leto's Joker. I don't even, that's bad. Like, I mean, if you make a bold choice and
incredible.
Commit to it.
Yeah.
Harley's incredible, but I don't see why she's picked to be on this elite squad. If she's no military, she's a crazy person with a bat. I'm just saying, within the world of the film, a lot of it makes no sense. and that's cool.
And obviously,
it made a ton of money.
You see your
point.
I mean,
it doesn't hold up for me.
I don't consider myself a critic. For me, I'm really simple as far as movies go. If I can show up to the theater and sit down, not have a drink, not have popcorn, not have any snacks, and be invested for the entire movie, then that means I enjoyed the movie.
Why aren't you having drinks and popcorn?
I saw it at like 6 o'clock at night the day it came out, and
seems
I just
like a perfect time for a drink and popcorn.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what it was.
I saw it at 6 o'clock at night, so I couldn't have.
It was one of those days where I didn't feel like spending any money. I guess I don't know, and so I just
Adam
sat down.
And I didn't have any drinks before either.
Really?
Do we not?
We did.
We did. Oh, totally.
Yeah. It was a joke. That was my sarcastic tone. It's very similar to my regular tone.
Okay. No, I thought you were. I was just picking it up.
But yeah, so I was invested. I enjoyed it. But at the same time, though, I don't consider myself a critic. I'm not the person that watches every single little nuance. And I see what you're saying, though. I do understand.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, like, the things that make these movies matter and count is character and us caring about the characters. That's all it's got to be. We know the DC films look great, you know. Now we just got to hope that there is a long-term plan. And I know we're going to talk about other things. Like, we mentioned talking about, like, the Affleck thing.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Because I don't even know if it's in our rundown.
Well, no, it was just that
I saw your tweets this week about
it was just to me, okay, this is an example of there not being a good leader. It's like you have several people involved in this new Ben Affleck film, including Jeff Bukes, the CEO of Warner Brothers Studios, Joe Manganiello, who we all know is going to be Deathstroke, and we're all psyched about it, and Ben Affleck, all kind of saying conflicting things. And all I'm saying is, like, when you look at, and I won't just say Marvel because I know that'll piss everybody off, but I will say another Disney thing, Star Wars, like, the way they just control their ship, it's lockdown.
Yeah.
It is absolute lockdown. Like, the stuff that gets out brilliantly gets out, and it's controlled. The information is controlled. So you have, like, Buick saying, like, all right, yeah, that film's coming down the line. It's like, don't half-announce a film. Don't allude to a film. Don't say you're making the film. And then you have Affleck, who's publicly saying, I'm not signed to any more films after Justice League, guys. To me, and I don't know if you can't see this, to me, that sounds like there's a very public sort of negotiating going on, right? Affleck's basically saying, like, yeah, you can announce what any film you want, but I'm not making the film till it's ready. And by the way, in this whole thing, I'm totally on Affleck's side. Mm-hmm. I want him to make the film he wants to make. I just wish I would have more faith in the future of the universe if the information seemed to be coming from an allied...
United Front.
United Front, man. That's all I'm saying. Like,
so do you think that Ben Affleck right now is using the public to leverage the fact that he isn't signed to anything and he's like, listen...
I'll be honest. Yes. But I don't think it's about money. But I do foresee
it's
a possibility.
Creative.
I feel foresee a possibility where Batman gets recast.
What?
Yeah,
again?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Wow.
I don't think
in
it's
the
as
same
far
universe?
Off as yeah. I don't
so
think it's as
universe,
far off as you think.
New
because,
Batman.
Yeah, because if it eventually comes to a head, it's either Warner Brothers going to be like, all right, well, we were wrong. That movie's coming in 2019 or whatever when Affleck's ready. If that's the game they want to play, or if they say, listen, we love Ben, but we also know that we need this Batman movie in this slot because Batman's incredibly popular.
But he's signed on to be a producer now, so I feel like that he's taking...
From what he's publicly said is he's signed on for Batman v Superman and Justice League, and they are in talks about this Batman film, but there is no script.
So isn't he producing Justice League, though? Isn't he one of
the
producers?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, he's a producer, but I don't think, you know, and he might even go on to produce, you know, after. But I don't think they're not one and the same. Like, it's not like, oh, you have an overall producer deal that somehow also is your deal for acting and directing
the
Batman film.
No, but I more mean the more you get invested into a universe, the more you're going to want to be a part of it. He's not just acting in it, he's producing and he's working.
Absolutely,
on these.
And that's what I want. I want that, whether it's Geoff Johns and that other dude, like, that United Front. That United Front that hasn't been there from the beginning, that needs to be there from the beyond.
This is really interesting because if they were to recast him, Adam, what do you think they would do? Would they just make an announcement and be like, P.S.?
I'll be honest. I mean, Affleck did such a great job. It's going to be really
hard. I don't think they're going to. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen, but I foresee a possibility where I didn't before because it's just very weird to me that, like, these things, these are on the record things. These are not rumors. And then people were giving me crap on Twitter saying, like, oh, you shouldn't come in on rumors.
He's also publicly talked about the Batman, though.
Yes.
So
but he's also said that I don't know why people are saying it's going to be filming. We're recently talking about Live by Night, even. Like, recently is like, yeah, that's working, but still don't have a script yet.
I mean,
and it's still not announced yet.
At the end of the day, don't we feel like Warner Brothers will be like, all right, Ben, you win.
Pony up.
Like, here you go. Yeah.
I just want a united front.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
And I think that they should defer to Affleck, who's been on a mad success streak, and just... Someone's got to control the info. Like, you have the execs trying
to
appease the investors.
Affleck should be the one who's letting
all
the information
out. Like,
or Geoff Johns or somebody.
If I can make a holiday reference right now, it's almost like this. The fact that we're having this conversation, and look, we keep it positive here, but we also have to keep it real. It's almost like, you know, keeping it real. The Marvel movie universe has been going strong for so long. Every movie, for the most part, does pretty well. It's almost like, if we could use a Mikey Christmas reference, Marvel is like, has their house fully decorated for Christmas.
Yeah.
All the lights in perfect assortment. It spells Merry Christmas.
Mikey Christmas is on a ladder up there hanging with, like, lights in hand.
Nothing has gone out.
Clark
and then,
Griswold style.
And then DC has the house across the street that, like, the lights are kind of all just tangled and it, like, kind of spells like something. It's like, they almost got it, but they're just not quite, like...
So they have all the materials to get the lights in the right places, but the lights are not in the right places.
We don't know if they're going to make the right decisions on where to put the damn lights.
Right. So it's like, it's the opposite problem because, Marvel's at the place where they're so in control, they're so streamlined from one person that they can take chances on directors.
Yeah, and if they have a shitty movie, like, whatchamacall that just came out recently, I can't even think of it.
Doctor Strange?
No, that was great. Fantastic Four. The one that just...
Right, but that's not Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Oh, well, still.
That Fantastic Four just proves the point of how Marvel Studios is doing the right thing. Because Fox
is giving
Fox
the
has got the spottiest record. But, like, Fox makes an amazing movie and then a shitty movie, and it's like, who's running the ship there, too?
But that could be the problem with Warner Brothers. As Warner Brothers, they you know, look at Zack Snyder and BVS. You know, if he would have been given that extra half hour for the theatrical release... I think a lot more people would have enjoyed the movie.
No, because it didn't help the Martha issue.
It didn't help that issue, but it was a much better film. But still,
the Warner Brothers dips their hand in, and they think they're making the right decisions. And thus far, they haven't exactly
made the right
decisions.
Get your hand out my cookie jar. Yeah.
So that's all. That's all I'm saying is I'm a little nervous about the Batman film. I want to see United Front, and that's all we need to say about that.
Well, speaking of being United,
it's been a couple
front,
of weeks,
we
guys. Sorry.
May actually. Hey, look, it's a passionate conversation. We may have a new member of the DC universe, and that could be John Cleese. So he followed both Ben Affleck and Zack Snyder on Twitter, and the BVS UK. Twitter and photographer Clay Enos are both following him. So, fun little rumor there.
I mean, this is the kind of thing where it's like, I've heard people speculating, like, you could go, John Cleese could be some cybernetic robot character. He could be a Booster Gold sidekick. I mean, he could be anything, but the one thing he couldn't be is a negative to a film, right? Like,
yeah.
He's John Cleese.
Absolutely, but I think it is just so funny that in 2016, the way that we could possibly find out that somebody has been cast in a role is to know who they're following on Twitter and who's following them back.
Oh, my God.
It's just such a weird thing.
Like, yeah, that's why I'm really careful about who I follow on Twitter. Like, if I want to see what's going on in, like, a porn star's account, like, I will not follow that because if somebody looks to see who I'm following,
they're
they'll
like,
be like,
"You're
I'm some,
in the porn."
They think I'm actively in porn.
Right. So I just think this is
my
bizarre.
Parents are like, going to be Googling Adam Gertler think, naked scenes right now.
Isn't there some way that he was just like? Isn't there a way that he was just like at a party with them or something?
It's very possible. But
like,
at the same time,
people who follow each other, like they all got lunch. Maybe I don't know.
It's very possible. Look, any rumor we got to talk about. Kevin Sugihara spoke at the Credit Suisse Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona this past week, and he basically said that... Is it Credit Suisse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Credit Suisse? Isn't Suisse a sauce? Suisse? I thought that was a green and white sauce and Mexican enchiladas.
It might be.
Suisse?
I know we have some Mexican followers there. Is that Suisse? Suisse style?
Could be. You would know better than
I.
Missed that
He did say there's going to be some doubling down on the major franchises, including, you know, DC, Harry Potter, and Lego. And they're thinking about possibly working on a streaming service, and they've been talking about that over the past 12 months. So the question is, are streaming services getting a little bit out of control? There's actually talk about this in chat roll today. There are so many, besides Netflix, there are so many different streaming services now to where everyone's like, oh, it's cheaper than cable, but if everyone starts charging,
right,
how much money will you be spending?
So you got your Amazon, you got your Hulu, you got your Netflix, you got your, and then there are...
Screen Junkies Plus.
You got your Screen Junkies Plus, your Comic-Con HQ, your...
Yeah. CISO TV is NBC's CISO comedy affiliate. They're $3.99 a month, which is a great deal. But at the same time, it's like how many things...
I've done HBO, the month's
YouTube
trial.
Red.
HBO Go.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Looking at it from a perspective of a host, as somebody who's like more on the talent end of things, it makes sense that you need to make money for what you're doing. And now you can just... You can get all this content for free.
Trust me, doing stuff for free sucks after a while.
At the same time, the problem with the streaming service is you have to be worth people's money. It's not like people are like, that's not worth $5. It's that people just don't want to pay for things because they can get them for free.
It's so weird to me that, like, I first see, like, the Titanic crashing into the iceberg with the CBS thing that they're trying to do. Like, I'm like a Star Trek fan. I'd love to see a new Star Trek series. Yeah. I like the new movies.
Yeah.
But, like... I ain't gonna subscribe to no CBS streaming service just so I can watch that Star Trek. I'm insulted that they're suggesting that. Like,
even if it's for free, a lot of times people won't subscribe just because they don't want to type in their information. So like,
that's you lazy millennials.
It's a big decision to make.
But us lazy millennials make up a lot of the world.
You are the future. I'm old.
It's a very slippery slope because I mean, you know, with cable, people say, "Oh, I pay $60 to $70 a month in cable." Well, if you get rid of cable and start paying for streaming services, it could end up being that much to where it's not that big of a difference, but it's weird. For the consumer, I totally understand their point, but from the entertainment side of it, we all want to try to be successful too. So it's a really, really slippery slope.
It's tough. And what is this? We don't even know what the streaming service...
Well, here's one interesting thing. Like, one way you could... Here's what's cool about it is, like, I guess they would have to let contracts with Netflix and other things expire, right? Then you have all the CW shows. You have...
Which just re-upped their contracts with Netflix.
With Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Now, you don't know what the exclusivity is on that.
No.
But
we know
have...
that they couldn't go be on Hulu anymore, so there must be some sort of exclusivity.
Right. So that would be weird if they couldn't do that. But then you would have all the movies, right? All the Superman movies, all the Batman movies.
Then what
movies,
do? Like... They get the movies. If a movie comes out, do they get it earlier there?
Well, they also own HBO. They also own HBO, and everything goes to HBO. Right. So that loop is kind of closed. Mm. I mean...
Is it new content?
Well, that's in the other thing. Okay, so just like every channel that launches, what do? They get old syndicated material, and then they start to pepper in new content. That's how all channels launch.
Or they would have to move the CW shows over to the streaming service.
What was interesting about this, though, is that Warner Brothers started trending when this was announced. So I started looking on Twitter. I was like, I don't understand why this is making Warner Brothers trend. Are people, like, even interested in this streaming service that's being considered and not yet launched? And people were saying incredibly positive things about this on the internet, which
we
I was kind of surprised
about. On this show, it's been brought up, like, many times, like, early on. But then when you think about all the movies and all the cartoons, even if they start with, I don't think you need to take the CW shows off because they also own half of the CW.
Yeah.
That's true. But they're also what happens is then they get to sell it to themselves on the streaming channel. They just get to double dip and double dip. So they produce the show. The advertising basically breaks even for producing the show on air, right? So the advertising maybe just takes care of the production budget for those CW shows. But then how they make money is then they syndicate those internationally to other places. But here, you'd be then selling it also to your own streaming service. So it's really smart. And Smallville. And there's a lot of content out there since the inception.
Classic episodes, classic cartoons.
What about the old Batman serials and the Superman serials and Adventures of Superman? Holy crap. Every Swamp Thing that's ever been.
And also you got to create
Swamp Thing Returns on streaming. Oh my God.
You see? It could be. I would be
That's the selling point. Open with that.
I just convinced myself this was a good idea.
I'd be totally on board. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, you would also need to create some kind of original content. Like, what WWE Network does is amazing. Not only do they have an incredible.
That's $9.99 a month.
Sure
right?
is, yeah. And there's talks about maybe making different tiered levels, but they have amazing, amazing library of content going back years. But what they also do, they've created a whole bunch of original shows that you can only get on the network, whether it's a talk show or a show that goes live after Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, or a show that's called Ride Along, or a show about tattoos. They have all these different things involving their talent.
WWE
and that's exactly
Network
what
is a
DC
show about
should do.
Tattoos?
Yeah, one of their commentators is a heavily tattooed
guy. Okay, so, and here's an interesting thing, but they don't put the top matches on WWE Network.
Oh, they do. They put all their pay-per-views, too. So
but the pay-per-view, you have to pay-per-view first.
The monthly pay-per-views that used to be $30 to $50 a month are now on the network. So if you subscribe for $10 a month, you can watch all the pay-per-views.
Really?
Yeah, it's an
amazing
deal.
That is crazy.
It's an incredible deal.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That alone, because you'd be like, oh, well, if I'm going to get two of these events, like what was the big one that just happened where Goldberg came
Survivor
back?
Survivor Series.
Seeing you,
usually
like, how
that
I know
would
that?
Be 40
That's so
to 50
big
bucks.
That I know that.
Yeah. And so what DC would have to do is find something where people say, I got to see that. It's well worth the $10 a month. They would just have to figure
it out. So that Goldberg event where he went up against your guy, Brock Lesnar, who you think should be in the DCEU.
Absolutely.
I agree. He could be our Bautista. Mm-hmm. He'd be like our bad guy Bautista. Bautista's all cuddly.
I mean,
like
Goldberg.
Oh, we have The Rock, too. There's that guy, potentially.
And Goldberg's only a year older than Bautista. He could easily be in DCEU, too.
Goldberg. Wasn't he in
Longest Yard.
Universal Soldier?
Maybe. I don't know.
The second one that actually had Lundgren and Van Damme? Back me up? Anyone?
It wouldn't shock me.
I don't know.
Goldberg?
But, you just have to do something to where you make fans like, I have to see that, you know? And so that's what I think would be very interesting.
Tim Cogan says, WWE Network is amazing, except for all that wrestling. So that's great. I mean, if he's a fan without the wrestling... That's great.
That's the thing. There's a lot of good stuff. You don't have to necessarily watch all the wrestling. There's a lot of other options as well.
So are we all for this idea, guys?
Absolutely.
What do we think?
Yeah, why not?
It depends on what they're doing.
Okay.
Again, with
What if they're doing exactly what I described? Every show that has ever been in the DC Universe and movie since the beginning of time, after they have their initial runs and their Blu-ray releases, they go to the streaming service. Plus, I will give you all the seed content. I'll even launch a new cartoon.
Price?
It's gonna be your $8.99 a month. $8.99.
Yeah. And are they taking it off Netflix?
Eventually, after a couple years, they will expire on Netflix.
So yes, and I think I would do that. But if it was offered still on Netflix, then I would just keep with Netflix. It has everything else.
Because Netflix now possibly is going to be purchased by Disney. Like Netflix is going to go very much to the Disney side, and that's going to make it the perfect landing place for every Marvel, Star Wars piece of content. And WB, I would get that before the CBS one.
I mean, what I love about the streaming...
Definitely.
This is from my perspective. What I love about streaming services is it provides more opportunities for people like us who bust our ass to book jobs and want to be behind, you know, in front of the camera. Yeah. So I think streaming services offer a lot of original content for that. So that's why I'd be totally on.
There's never been more jobs for everybody. Yeah. And I got to say, I think Amazon has done a great job at carving itself out from Netflix. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, so not true?
I went home to Boston and all the tolls were gone and now there's satellites in the skies when you're on the highway. And 400 jobs were lost.
Whoa.
Due to satellites.
Oh, I meant in TV and film and stuff. Oh, I wasn't talking about tolls. Hey. Was that not clear?
Yeah.
Did you think I was really maybe talking about tolls?
Don't worry. Hey, look, I'm blue collar all the way. I totally get that.
Fair enough. People.
I know that I was speaking in a tone that would suggest that I was perhaps speaking about tolls.
I got
and stuff.
That tone from your voice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Time to move on. A couple things here. Got to talk about The Flash. There's a great article here about the 6 possible directors for the Flash film as far as who they thought were the best options here. We got to, and who is this from? This is from comic book. No, it's not from cheatsheet.com. Here we go. F. Gary Gray from Straight Outta Compton and Fast 8. Edgar Wright, who helped.
F. Gary Gray, who is doing a Fast and Furious film,
yes,
now, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, cool.
Edgar Wright, who helped develop Ant-Man. Drew Goddard, Lexi Alexander, who has directed Arrow, Supergirl, was involved in Punisher. And then, of course, your boy, Kevin Smith, and then Tim Miller.
So okay. I asked Kevin Smith if he would direct The Flash.
Point blank.
Yep. And he said that he would tell them that they made the wrong choice, that he didn't think he was right for the job. He would point them in Tim Miller's direction.
Yeah.
And then if they...
Oh, so Kevin Smith actually liked my franchise.
Yep. He said he thinks he's a better option.
Wow.
And if they insisted on him being the best option, of course he would do it, but he didn't think he was right for the job. And he, at the end of saying that, said... And I realized just now that I might have just lost that job. So it seems like people have been talking about him being up for it. He also started talking about working with Ezra Miller. And another reason why he thinks he might have lost the job is that he is so pro Grant Gustin.
Right.
And he said he thinks Ezra Miller is good, but he's like, my Barry Allen is Grant Gustin, period. Ezra Miller.
From what I've seen of Ezra Miller, I really like him so far. I mean, Grant Gustin's fine. But
me too. He was, just see him in this past? Oh, Fantastic Beasts. He was very good.
Well,
he
is good. While I like Grant Gustin on The Flash, I have no such loyalty. Do I think that he's the only guy that can play the role?
You totally. Also haven't directed him recently, so he probably felt like a need to say.
Of course,
that.
Yeah, he directed him, and he's been on multiple episodes. Yeah. And Kevin Smith is getting lots of jobs with CW, and I think that's great for him because his solo films are not making money; they're not making the impact they used to. But this is my point. Like in the situation that Marvel had set up, you could possibly get Kevin Smith to direct a Flash movie because none of the crazy stuff that he's never directed before, like all the effects, he wouldn't have to worry about those because they have the team in place. They don't need to worry about whether you've done any effects or you've done any blockbuster films. As long as you can direct a scene with two people talking and give the film heart, that's what they look for in their directors for the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I mean, sure, Scott Derrickson has had a lot more experience with horror and things like that, but that's the crux of what they look for. Foggy has said so much.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is good at that. He's really good at getting heart out of people.
He says he's a big, like, hype guy. You know, he shows up and he gets everybody excited to be there, but his thing isn't dealing with effects and
He doesn't know how to move the camera.
Exactly.
He's not like that. That's
he's
not
like,
his
I'm not
thing.
Into the fancy dolly shots. They know way better than I do.
But
yeah.
I will tell you, Tim Miller is a great idea of it. It's just because of Deadpool and the cutscenes we've seen using Deathstroke. That's a no-brainer. Edgar Wright... again, if there is like strong, you know, Edgar Wright seems like he would make a great film, but it seems unlikely given like what he just went through with Ant-Man. Like, I don't know why he would want to enter into that thing again.
I think you're right.
F. Gary Gray is...
that's Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton and then this 8. Fast Furious movie. It doesn't get me excited.
I mean,
those movies
are a little bit different than The Flash would be. So that's... I think Lexi Alexander could be a great option. She's already directed Arrow and Supergirl.
Yeah, but hasn't directed a great movie.
Well,
some people will say Punisher Warzone. I'd say, you know, you're remembering with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, true.
Not a powerhouse director.
Do you think that they would ever give Michelle McLaren another shot after not having her do Wonder Woman and pulling her off the project for creative differences?
Who knows if her pride would let her
do it
anyway.
I think it would really depend on what really happened there.
Yeah, that's true, which we don't know.
Yeah.
Because nobody's giving us information.
Interesting article this week. So BVS debuted to strong numbers on HBO, and there's renewed interest. I don't want to say renewed interest. There still is interest about who was Flash talking about in Batman versus Superman. And, you know, I think we all kind of feel very similar in this, but when he's, you know, that during the dream nightmare sequence, right. He's too soon. You've always been right about him. Fear right. him. And of course, everyone's automatically thinking, oh, it's Superman.
He's too Lois is the key. Soon.
But that's the obvious.
Lois is the key. That line bothers me.
Lois is key.
A lot of people are saying, it, you know,
not bothers
dark,
me,
it's okay. Dark Side.
Here's my negative side about this is like whatever about they were planning. Dark Side? No, just that whatever they were planning might not be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how strict they're adhering to whatever story beat that was alluding to, unless that pays off in Justice League, which is the next film.
Well, let's step it back from even there. Do you even think they had the answers when they put that in?
I sure hope so. Because that's my question. It's like, did they have the answers? Because if it was Superman, that wouldn't make any sense. Because then you're just going to kill him, and he's going to come back, and what, is he going to go bad?
Mm-hmm. I think is he gonna turn I think heel? To myself when you...
is Superman turning heel?
Don't you I think mean, sometimes when you hear something like this, you think to yourself... All right, somebody will figure it out at some point what it means. For now, they just put it in because they're like, that sounds cool.
Well, it's clearly supposed to allude to something in Justice League. Some people were saying, you know, is it Darkseid? What do you guys think, Trat Roll? Who do you think he was talking to? I still like that scene a lot. I like that scene even more than the actual nightmare part. Mm-hmm. I just like the Flash popping up there. Oh, am I too soon? Like, you have to find us. We know what that means. I hope it pays off in a way that is not like what we thought. Also, just to piggyback off that, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but also I heard some people talking about, like, do you think, is Clark definitely dead in the DCEU? Is there a way to bring Clark back without really reversing time and doing something stupid, or are they just moved on from Clark and we get no Clark in this DCEU? Or is Clark public identity like Steve Rogers?
Oh, boy.
Sorry, did I mention Marvel again? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Not Steve Rogers.
It's going to come up. I mean,
think of somebody else, quick.
Somebody else who's got a public identity in the DC universe. Bruce Wayne, sure.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor knows who he is.
That's a really good question. I mean, will that come up in Justice League? I would imagine it would have to. Maybe not.
Well, why wouldn't they be able to get back to having Clark?
Because it would be so stupid that they both come back from the dead.
Yeah.
At the same time, after both dying at the same time.
But maybe not at the same time. Well,
it's tough. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And look, in a world that is clearly adhering to more of a realistic thing.
So what does he do? He takes on a different identity?
No, like, well, the best way I've heard it put by is just that, like, now that you got the Justice League, they're just public and his full-time job is being Superman at this point. And I guess that's kind of the best scenario.
But you don't think anybody ever puts together the pieces that Clark was Superman?
It doesn't matter at that point. I mean, it doesn't matter.
The fact that he died would matter. People be like, oh, you left your job because you died at your funeral.
Well, there was a funeral for both of them. So they're both publicly dead. Superman's clearly going to publicly come back. So how do you explain Clark coming back? Like,
well, I think that you have to say that they were the same person.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you think he comes back, but he's public identity.
Yes, like Steve Rogers or someone else that has a public identity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we solved it.
Yeah. Hal Jordan? Is Hal Jordan public these days? Is a Green Lantern or is he... private.
I don't know. Speaking of Hal Jordan.
Speaking of Hal Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Now it's time to squash some rumors. So,
okay.
50 Shades of Green Lantern. I do love whoever came up with
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Roxy. Mm-hmm. There was a really silly rumor that came out this week from, I don't even know what the Twitter account is.
I don't know. Well, it was being rumored all over the place. It might have started here.
Let's step it back a second. First, there was the rumor that came out that there will be a Green Lantern presence in the Justice League film.
Which is still, as you said earlier, a rumor.
But we've talked about it on this show before.
I see that happening.
I do.
I always did.
They're done filming.
I think so. I think they filmed it.
Okay.
I think it's a surprise. I think it's not something that happens toward the end of the show.
I love me a surprise.
I think it's supposed to be something that happens toward the end of the film.
If there is a Green Lantern, do you think it's Hal?
Here's the thing, and I'm curious what people think. I think there's no way it's going to be Hal. I think it's going to be Jon Stewart.
Oh.
Especially, listen, not to like, you know, say like political correctness determines everything, but in this climate where people, not that they're, that diversity is being represented to allay some kind of politically correct agenda, but that people are demanding more diversity. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be crazy if you have the Justice League full of white dudes with one black guy and one woman. I think it's got to be Jon Stewart.
Do you think...
Or maybe the current Latina Green Lantern.
If they have kept it under wraps this much, do you think that they would have had to cast an A-list celebrity for people to be happy when it is a surprise at the end of the movie Justice League when Green Lantern comes out? Do you
think
it needs to be some A-list, or do you think just the fact that it's Green Lantern, if they reference, like,
here's the thing, I think because maybe they don't have a Green Lantern film. Maybe they don't have Green Lantern cast as the main Green Lantern. Or maybe it's just a core member. Oh, I don't know, but you're so right. Like, it would be great if they kept a big one under wraps.
Yeah.
That'd be
and
hard
really
to
got
do.
One by.
This day and age? Oof.
But it's just a cameo. You could almost do it on a green screen. It wouldn't be... And you know, is it going to be the core that shows up? We know the movie's going to focus on the core. The argument against it being Hal Jordan is that, like, you just did the whole Hal Jordan origin films, and you want to get away from that.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like they do the same thing.
Right. So then going to the Johnny part of the rumor, at @Bravo_review tweeted out saying, hashtag casting alert, Jamie Dornan in talks with @WB Pictures at Zack Snyder for #DCCU as Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. Which then Umberto Gonzalez, you guys know El Maimbe,
yes, friend of the show,
retweeted that and wrote, this account is making up fake news. Now stop asking me about it. I already said not true. And then Jeff Johns retweeted Umberto's retweet of that.
Which Boom. Is crazy. I mean, you get the Jeff Johns stamp of approval.
That's what I want. I want Jeff Bukes to say nothing about anything. I want him to collect his $50 million he probably makes a year and shut up. Let people like Jeff Johns, you know, make tweets like that. That's the kind of communication that we fans really want.
So do we think that that 100% means that 50 Shades of Never happening?
I hope, yeah. I wouldn't take that as a...
Because I'll tell you why. Because then, if it were true, you would never believe anything Jeff Johns tweeted. Our supposed new leader. It would be like the stupidest thing. And I think it would be the most basic bitch casting to put pretty boy Jamie Dornan in, like, that role. It would be like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, and let's be honest. I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey, but I for all intents and purposes, it's an awful movie.
I've seen it 9 times, okay?
Nine times.
And he's fine, but he's no G.O.
9, 9, 9, 9.
Sure. I mean, he's more than fine.
So, also, John Bernthal.
Guys, he's really fine.
John Bernthal as well, possibly playing Harvey Dent as well.
Yes.
That's the other rumor, but he's already set to play the Punisher. So I don't know. I mean
not only
bullshit.
Is he set to play the Punisher, he's already been
he's
playing
been the Punisher.
Punisher.
Right, exactly. So like that could already be bullshit as well.
Are you allowed to do that?
What?
Be like, don't you feel like Marvel would have a clause?
It depends on the contract. I think it totally depends on the contract.
I guess he was kind of big enough going into it that he would have a leg to stand on. Mm. You know, a lot of these new actors, if you're like, no, I'm not putting that on my contract because I want to be in a DC thing also, they would be like, suck our dick, we're casting somebody else.
I mean, you're...
SOD.
Yeah.
I think under the laws of God and man, and I'm not a very religious person, you are allowed. But I think that there are also contracts and things, so I think that would typically disallow this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, Bernthal seems pretty content to be going in all in as Frank Castle, and he's doing a great job over there. And
he's got his own series, so it's like, I don't see him leaving that role anytime soon, having even time to do that.
But we are going to get some Harvey Dent, though.
Yes, that's definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lego movie.
The Lego movie. Billy Dee Williams, y'all. Hell yeah. Colt 45 works every time.
So what is it, 27 years later?
Yep.
So they introduced Billy Dee Williams as Harvey Dent.
So
brilliant
cool.
casting. Yes. Still looking every bit his Lando best.
Handsome devil.
And it never happens, right? It was supposed to happen in the third Tim Burton film, apparently. It never happened. And now, what a great nod to that. Like,
so cool.
If there's Studley.
I mean, I don't know any DC fan that's not like any frustrations that I have. At least I'm looking to the Lego Batman movie. It's going to be fun. Look at that poster.
The
Look how loaded it is.
I just don't care that much about the Lego Batman movie, but it does. It's getting my
intrigue. You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
Roxy, I agree with you. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be. But I agree. I think I'm probably going to. It's going to show up like in February.
Yeah.
We're going to go. It's going to be super fun. It's going to make fun of itself, and it's going
to
be great.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we got a few more things to hit. We got to hit TV time. You got to drive to Long Beach.
I do. I'm so late, but it's okay. I'll just. This is too important, guys.
Can we talk really quickly about Ezra Miller stuff before we go to TV time?
Hit it. Well, I was going to say, Zack Snyder, the whole cryptic thing, he went out, and just Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, I'm going to be on the DC cover, but that's, you know.
Yeah, the Snyder thing with that cryptic, was it a tweet or Instagram with the thing? Did you see that?
No. Instagram. We got the picture. Zach got it.
It was strange, and people were talking about mother boxes being involved, and nobody really knows what this was.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Up hair?
Yeah.
Oh, grow up hair? Like balls?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or
It looks more like a uterus.
It does look like a uterus.
Like it even has these like circles.
I see nipples.
If you look here.
You don't see nipples?
No, it's the uterus. He's right. It's like, those are, like, that's where the eggs go, right?
The ovaries and then
Ovum. Where's the... Which one is the...
it could have just been that he...
I need an anatomy class again.
It could just be that he likes the jewelry.
Aren't I supposed to have one of those?
Is that labia majora?
Are those nipples?
Is that labia minora?
I have nipples, Greg.
Anyway, so the Ezra Miller thing, a lot of people were talking about this week with him relating Speed Force to the Force.
Okay.
Like Star Wars Force.
Sure.
So... people were asking him how he's going to portray Barry Allen. Such a unique question. He says, so the Speed Force being like the Force from Star Wars in the sense that it's a dimensional reality that's manipulating others, almost like a gravitational wave that manipulates space-time. That's what's interesting for my Barry Allen. And for me, what becomes interesting is the human being who is suddenly coming into contact and rapidly starting to merge with the Force and what that is for a human being. Being.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bing.
That all sounds great.
And a lot of people were tweeting like, he's stealing from Star Wars.
Everybody. Have you counted like how many Star Wars references are on like The Flash every week? Yeah. And like it seems like every superhero show, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has done it and DC does it. Like everybody drops Star Wars
Cisco
references.
Ramon.
Constantly.
Yeah, all of the time. So that was just interesting that he is looking at this from a scientific angle as an actor, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky, whoever takes on the directorship, because clearly they got to still keep directing the film. Oh, look, there's is that, what is that?
Oh, Jesus.
The anatomy.
Zach, what do you got up there?
We don't need to show it on screen.
What?
I don't know who our audience is.
Yeah, there's no need. I mean,
they should know.
But it is definitely a uterus.
They should know how the human body works. Well, they might want to procreate.
Why does our uterus in Grow a Pair have nipples and the uterus?
I don't see that's these meant nipples. To be,
those are not nipples. Those are like eggy things.
I have at one time seen a nipple.
I guarantee you, Zach Snyder.
You don't see these nipples here, though.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee Zack Snyder loves the fact that we're debating this.
Is this like on Wonder Woman's like cuffs? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, it seems like it could be some like.
It's a uterus and it's grow a pair. It's very women empowerment.
Would Wonder Woman even know what a pair was? You're a man.
Yeah, that is weird.
I'm not trying to justify. I'm just trying to solve the
puzzle. Speaking of having a uterus, it's time for...
Oh, you know who has a uterus here?
I know one person for sure.
It's time
what a
for
weird transition.
Yes!
That's a perfect transition.
That was a great transition. Really, you ruined it by mentioning it.
You
broke your own rules.
I do have a uterus, though.
Yeah. We knew that. That's why it was a
TV time!
Not much going on in TV time.
Yeah, you know, it was a week for TV. Just kidding! Guys, it's been the four-part crossover event this week, the moment we've all been waiting for other than the musical. And it has not let me down. So for people who are confused, because it was a little confusing, on Monday, Supergirl started the crossover, although it really wasn't a part of the crossover. It was the last few seconds.
It was very like shoehorned in throughout the episode. And there were kind of a few references.
And then the part of the crossover...
Spoilers, UK.
The part of the crossover that was at the end of Supergirl actually airs in Flash. Mm-hmm. So if you missed Supergirl and you don't watch Supergirl... I don't actually know how necessary it was. And I think that they did that mostly because they're trying to get new fans for Supergirl, and they're like, look how strong our show is.
Yeah.
Like, just watch it. So, anyway, then we went to Flash.
Yep.
Cool-ish going on there. We got all these... Should I say spoilers or no?
Yeah, no, we've said spoilers.
UK, close your ears, but, you know, everyone's pissed at Barry.
Spoiler alert!
People are being abducted and stuff.
And it's all Barry's fault.
Yeah, I like the way that they introduce the team every time we go to a different show, and that, like, one person's like, so you're this person, and you're this person, so in case you're not watching. But I do have to say, I watch all four of these shows every single week, and if I didn't watch... I think I'd be a little confused in this crossover.
Because I feel like they keep bringing up everything that's going on in every show, like, and re-referencing
it. They do, but there's so many characters.
So many characters.
That I just think it's hard, like, especially with all the legends and what goes on there. But it is interesting, and the Dominators, it's been a cool storyline.
I will say the Dominators look really cool.
You think
they
look good?
I do think they look
good. How do you think their pods and their ship look?
I think they look like if Mars Attacks was, like, a serious movie. Like, yes. That's what they look like.
They look intense. They look like they're horrible. Horribly constipated and angry.
Yeah,
they had the circles
pissed.
On their heads,
they
right?
They certainly look pissed. And then Arrow, people were kind of bummed because they did a lot of nostalgia in the Arrow episode. Did you get to check that out last night?
It was weird. It was, I guess, they almost like they built this whole crossover because like it was the 100th episode of Arrow. It was very
Arrow
much
100.
Of what's the Jimmy Stewart Christmas thing? Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like your It's a Wonderful Life Arrow episode.
But do you think that they did that because they're trying to cater towards comic book users who wanted to see Oliver and Laurel together?
Comic book users?
Comic book readers.
Are you...
Am I?
Billy, are you using comics? Billy, do we need to talk about this?
You all right?
I've been using comics.
We found comics under your bed, Billy.
I learned about watching you.
I use comics. I use them.
Do
you think that they were catering towards that audience because they were trying to go back to that? Because people would be confused what the hell's happening with Oliver if they don't watch the show?
I don't think so. I think it was like a nod to fans to kind of give them like to see what that, you know, it's a Wonderful Life thing. You see if he had the perfect life and he stuck with the girl that he was
with
the whole
time.
But
how confusing is it? This is what I'm saying. If I didn't watch Arrow, I'd be watching this thinking.
Oh, you mean if you didn't watch Flash?
If I didn't watch Arrow.
Okay.
And I was watching Arrow because of the crossover. Like I watched the other shows regularly and I never watched Arrow. When I tuned into Arrow, I would be like, who is that guy? Roy, Tommy, when we see everybody there, the mom, the dad, what happened to them? Why are they talking about this like they're gone? What is this world? Is this a different Earth? Well, have they gone to Earth 39?
Yeah.
Like, what? I just think that I really liked the episode and I enjoyed the nostalgia. I think as somebody who didn't watch, that might be weird.
Action Figure World just said, get Brandon Routh away from the Adam character and get him in that Superman costume, damn it. There have been some times, when they had him like in the suit and the hat, like Brandon Routh, I really gotta say, I've been feeling the same thing. Like, he just looks so much like Superman and I so wish he was Superman. That's all I think the whole time. I think he's one of the most magnetic people on any of those shows, like from an acting point of view even, which is surprising. I think you tapped onto a good point. I think this crossover is a lot of fan service. It's a little, it's kind of just like fun. It doesn't land for me so much because it's like, it's just, oh, we got to give you this. There's so much they got to get in. It is a lot of fan service, so it's a lot of that.
And I completely just brushed over this because we weren't here a couple weeks ago and then I haven't had you. Can we talk about Cyborg?
Cyborg Superman?
Cyborg Superman?
Wasn't a fan.
You might be a cyborg, but you certainly are no Superman.
Not a fan of Cyborg Superman in any way. I will say, like, I even liked, like, the episodes, but, like, oof, not a fan of that. Why would you call yourself Cyborg Superman, but you still look like David Harewood, and that guy does too, but he's a Martian, and you're a cyborg, and what the hell's going on?
How confusing is that? Even as a Supergirl fan, I was confused with what the heck is going on with this one person's character, because not only are they two different people, but Hank Henshaw's one person, then you've got the person pretending to be Hank Henshaw that's actually Martian Manhunter, but now he's not only is he a green Martian, but he's a white Martian now, and then we've got what's going on with Cyborg Superman, and they all look the same, and it's confusing. Like,
we all wanted it to be Dean Cain. I mean, could Dean Cain just not like lose the weight and get in shape to be Cyborg? Cyborg Superman is like what the news would call you. You wouldn't call yourself Cyborg Superman, and you're a cyborg. You would think you'd come up with a better name, having access to all the literature from the beginning of time.
It was a lot. I enjoyed
it. And Supergirl's hearing, hello, did she just turn that shit off?
And she's like, what were you guys talking about? I was like,
And then in the next episode, they make a reference to how good her hearing is.
I know.
Come on!
There's a lot of inconsistencies.
I know.
Come on!
But I will say that it sounds like I'm not, but I'm loving the crossover. I'm loving it.
To the certain person in chat role accusing Adam of hating everything DC, he doesn't. If you've watched this show over the past 2+ years, Adam is a DC champion, has been his entire life. What he is real, and he's not afraid to be critical. There's a difference between hating and being critical, and that's the problem with a lot of people today. They
whoever
don't
you
hear
are
any
that thinks I'm a hater, it's a new America, and you better get with the program.
Well, that's not the way I wanted to go with
it. Oh, the Lena Luthor stuff was cool, though.
Otherwise, I'm going to make sure that you pay double taxes.
Lena Luthor was cool.
That was cool. That was a twist. That was good. That was good twisting.
I
didn't see it coming, and I like the Alex Gay storyline.
Oh, my God.
Very much.
Malix. Hashtag Maggie and Alex. Malix, I love them.
Very good. Very well done.
I ship them so hard. But I also ship Kara and Mon-El. So, you know, I'm really
totally
hoping,
shipping that.
Yeah, I'm shipping that hard. And
I like Mon-El.
I like him too.
And
I liked him on the
original. But there's a lot of corny stuff that goes on the CW, guys. That's what it is.
I'm really excited to see how they wrap it up tonight on Legends. Because that will be interesting.
I've still been liking Arrow overall this season. I like Wild Dog a lot. I like
Arsenic?
Artemis. I think there's an Arsenal Arsenic and Artemis, Arsenic and Old Wild Dog. he's good. He's got an attitude. That's it. Let's see how Legends brings it home.
Okay.
I like Steel.
There was another piece of TV news too. Well, not necessarily news, but a picture of Mark Hamill. Because we saw in the trailer for next week, because there's going to be a Flash next week. I believe the crossover ends most of the shows except for Flash, which
for
didn't
mid-season?
Air. Yeah, for mid-season, because Flash didn't air because of the election. So
right.
Now I think Flash has an extra one. So people were confused because this Mark Hamill Trickster doesn't really look like Trickster. Like, I mean, he.
Yeah, that's going to be like, an Earth 17 or something like that. Earth 3. Because you're going to get the Flash
and
in that.
And what exactly is he?
And it's so great that he looks like a Joker. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
good
people
stuff.
Have been talking a lot about this image, so we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be great, whatever he does.
There, definitely, definitely.
What if he's known as the Jokester?
Someone said,
"Oh, that's Zach L.
The party pooper is saying, "What is Crudup going to be? Is Crudup going to be on the Flash? I thought he's in the Flash movie. No, Crudup is going to be in the Flash movie, right? He ain't going to be on the Flash show.
Well, that's that well, happens. You just said it's Crudup going to be Reverse Flash or Jay Garrick."
Right, but still in the movie. I think that meant in the movie, right? You meant that in the movie? Oh, boy. I got to go to Long Beach, guys.
Yeah, we got to close out the show.
We're good. I mean, I don't need to talk too much about TV time because there's enough TV time this week.
And we still got Legends of Tomorrow wraps it all up.
Yeah, and I'm all in on Gotham and Preacher still. I mean, and Lucifer still. I do like
Preacher. Oh, still loving Gotham this season, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
And liking the gay stuff on that show, too.
Yeah. They're killing it over there.
Like that.
It'll be interesting to see what goes on.
Really like that stuff. Really like that stuff.
Yeah.
I love both those actors. They can pull get away with a lot of stuff. You know, I even like little Bruce and Selena. I'm sorry. They're growing on me. Gotham to me definitely my favorite season by far.
And even Ivy isn't bothering me too much.
No, she doesn't bother. She doesn't bother me.
I didn't think she bothered you.
She does not bother me. You don't bother me, Ivy.
What up is going to be Barry's
father? What about
it? Call me the caretaker. I'll water your plants. I haven't played the new Telltale series. I know it's waiting for me at home. I'm so excited for that. Going to spend like an hour and a half, 2 hours with that.
Awesome.
I think the Joker is in this episode.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
I think we're good, guys.
Right, well, hey, we're at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. I'm at Jay Quasto. The Blood Drive's this weekend, guys. Los Angeles, California. If you're anywhere near, we have the Blood Drive Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The biggest
Friday,
one
Saturday,
we've
Sunday.
Ever done. Tempe, good. Arizona. I'm coming to you in 2 weeks. I'll be at the Tempe Improv with my buddy Craig Shoemaker, December 16, 17,
18. Does he make shoes?
No, he does not, believe it or not. But
that'd be a good
job. It's a great name. And Pennsylvania, I'm coming home. I got a comedy show in Allentown December 26th and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, December 29th. Adam Gertler, go.
Hey, what's up? Find me on Twitter. Talk to me. Hate me. Love me. Do whatever you want. I'm at Adam Gertler. Check out 22 Jump Street, the sequel that surpassed expectations on FX Movie Download.
Friday night
at 8 on FX.
I'm going to do that Friday
you
night.
You do. Check it out. Me and Sasha Pro Raver will be talking about that movie.
Awesome.
That movie, darling.
Roxy Stryer.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can also find me tomorrow. That's a special thing. Tomorrow, Screen Junkies, Flash and Friends. We're talking about the four-part crossover, the finished version of it. Obviously, Jay Muse will be there. I'll be there. You guys know her from all over AfterBuzz. Tiana Hobson will be joining us.
Ooh.
So it will be definitely fun. And then TV Fights, always Tuesdays, 4 p.m.
Sounds good. And of course, Mike Kalinowski, find him on a ladder somewhere in Texas right now putting up Christmas lights, and also find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. Thanks everyone for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Zach L. in the booth. Thanks to the Popcorn Talk Network. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
I promise you, the dawn is coming.